It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
the Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky.
Take him out!
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Here we go! The window around the eighth. He should go down, and he does. Great awareness by the rookie at the 2-yard line as he goes down, and that'll seal the game.
Oh, I got hairy there for a second. It got hairy as we say, oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby. But the job got done for the San Francisco 49ers. This is Mike Tirico on the call for NBC Sports, and the Niners survive against the Dallas Cowboys 30-24 after building a 27-10 lead heading into the fourth quarter. And I thought the third quarter was their most complete quarter of the season, defensively, offensively. Thought they did a hell of a job there to kind of distance themselves from the Dallas Cowboys, and they get a much needed victory, and they're in a tie for first place in the NFC West heading into the bye week. 30-24, Brock 260 in the air. Isaac Garrido, his coming out party. He ran with juice. He's getting better and better by the carry. 14 carries, 85 yards and a tug. And on National Tight End Day, the tight end of the San Francisco 49ers shined out. He shined bright. George Kittle, 6 catches, 128 yards, and a touchdown. So we get the Niners with a big win. Look at the Warriors with a loss, and now we got to worry about Steph Curry's ankle, mild left ankle sprain, as they lose to the Clippers yesterday. They could not get over the hump. Credit to the L.A. Clippers, who dictated tempo and pace. But a lot going on here. What's up, Shasky? Good morning.
Good morning. You know, that game, wow. There were so many swings of momentum. I think a lot of Niner fans were watching that first half, and they're like, what is going on here? I mean, we are our own worst enemy. We have big chunk plays, and they're getting called back because of infractions. It feels like you get the ball right before the end of half, and Purdy drops it in the pocket, and you're thinking, oh my goodness, this could not get any worse. Thank God Dak turned it over early. This could be worse. Well, we're gonna get the ball at the end of at the start of the third quarter. And I thought the Kittle little slant crosser, whatever they call it, drag play, where he just started steamrolling guys and rumbling and stumbling all the way down to basically whatever, the 8, right. 9, 10 yard line. That was the moment. The momentum flipped. And then yep. D'Amino Lenore, who I just think has been playing outstanding football for this team for weeks and weeks on end, made one of the great acrobatic catches that I can remember a 49ers secondary player making. And the Niners went on a great run in that third quarter. Maybe their best quarter of football.
That's what I just said. Most complete quarter of the season.
You think that's what you think?
Yeah, that's what I think. I kind of feel like that's what I know after watching this team, you know, all season long through the first 8 games. 21 points in all in that quarter. They fixed their red zone issues for at least one Sunday night, going 3-4 in the red zone. The only time they didn't get a touchdown in the red zone was when they were in victory formation at the end of the game. So I thought we could talk about D'Amino Lenore, who's just playing excellent football. Michael Silver had the article in the SF Chronicle early this season saying, the next 49ers superstar is D'Amino Lenore. You know what? He wears that number 2. He's got the swagger like a star. And overall, this young secondary is playing well. I thought Malik Mustafa again popped on Sunday Night Football. Chris Collinsworth over and over was just gushing all over Malik Mustafa. Tig Brown had an interception, of course, in that game. Renardo Green is getting some run here, and he's playing well. But then I look at the other side of the football, and I'm saying to myself, from what I saw with Jacob Cowie last week and with his short area quickness, and I know he wasn't much of a factor last night, but Ricky Pearsall, I see what they see in Ricky Pearsall. Some tough catches over the middle early on in the football game. The great out route, the anticipation by Brock Purdy leading Ricky Pearsall. There's something there with Pretty Ricky, who's a little quicker than I thought. You saw the end around with him. And so now moving forward, you got some things cooking here with Ricky Pearsall and Jacob Cowie to compliment George Kittle and Deebo Samuel and Juwan Jennings once he gets back. But more importantly, the quarterback got back on track last night.
Yeah, I mean, I thought he was a little shaky in the first half at best. Totally righted himself. And I thought that Kittle play was a big flipper for him confidence-wise. And then his accuracy was just, boom, on point from that way out. Now, We can get into the fourth quarter at some point today.
No doubt.
My God. Can we guard CeeDee Lamb? I mean, I have no problem, and I'm not going to lose my mind over it. I have no problem when you're up like three scores and you're allowing a team to just kind of march down the field. Like, whatever. You're in prevent. I'm not going to lose my mind. Like, right. I'm not. But when it got to a point where it was like, all right, it's CeeDee Lamb, guys. Come on. Yeah. Like, we kind of knew that going in. But, like, can we double CeeDee? And he's not even covered on multiple plays when it felt like they went to him 15 times in a row. Well, that's where I'm like, all right, can we make an adjustment here? But I'm looking at this, B, and I'm saying part of why Dallas is where they're at. We could talk about Jerry, and we could talk about the coach and the quarterback, but the GM, Jerry, has failed to kind of find the late gems that the Niners have. Yesterday, Isaac Arendo and Ricky Pearsall, 180 yards combined. Okay. Dominic Pooney, starting left guard.
Yep.
You referenced Malik Mustafa. He was separating dudes from the ball. Missed a couple tackles. The whole team missed tackles.
But he's playing well. He's getting better by the snap.
I think he's a stud. Jair Brown, who you referenced with the interception, was everywhere in the first half. I thought he was excellent. And then you see this guy, Okwuanu, out of nowhere, getting pressures.
Yeah.
All these random guys that they brought in, as Jordan Mason, an undrafted guy, goes out in the game, they're getting contributions from the others. And then you have your all-time legends like Kittle who are going to carry things. I look at Dallas and the problem with them is they don't get the contributions that the Niners are getting from the depth of their roster.
I just don't think Dallas is a well-coached football team. I don't think they're a well-run football team. I think they're one of the more mentally weak teams I've seen in recent memory. When it going gets tough, they just fold. I mean, now credit to them, they did try to fight back last night on Sunday Night Football. Had a chance, I guess, to take the lead there. The Niners defense held strong on four downs, which was great. But I just think mentally, they're weak. I think they're poorly coached. And we saw this with Mike McCarthy when he got hired a few years ago. I thought a few years ago, I said, they hired Mike McCarthy out of all people. And we know why they hired Mike McCarthy, because Jerry wants to run the show. The best thing for Jerry Jones is go out there and go get Bill Belichick and step the hell out of the way. That's the best thing for Jerry Jones.
Yeah, but
he will not do it.
Yeah.
His ego. And then you see their players after the game, Trayvon Diggs going after a reporter over a social media post. Well, first of all, you just got in the locker room with full uniforms on. You already see the social media post? Is it already sent to your cell phone? So you go after a reporter, because I'm wondering after watching the play, what was Trayvon Diggs doing? What were you doing?
I don't know.
So you come at the reporter, you take your frustrations out on him. I just think the Dallas Cowboys are just a joke. They're an absolute afterthought to me. I don't think they're a playoff team. Matter of fact, are they really going to go out there and beat the Commanders once or twice? Are they going to beat the Philadelphia Eagles? I mean, that team and CeeDee Lamb and Dak are not on the same page. They're a joke. They're an absolute joke, Shasky.
I don't know. Like, I know everyone's going to say the Cowboys suck, and you might be right. But I'm looking at it from a Niners perspective.
No, take care of your own business.
What?
Take care of your business.
That's the way I'm viewing it. Like, we've had a lot of drama for like 3 months straight in Ninerland. You're 4-4. Lick your wounds, get healthy, and let's go on a little run here. And your point about Ricky Pearsall is well taken. That little out route that Purdy threw, I thought it was the best throw of the half for Purdy up until that point. He's out of his break, and he doesn't realize the ball is coming, and he's adjusting and making the catches. He's falling down. He made a couple of really nice catches in traffic and just goes down. I'm like, yes, you don't need to run through six guys. We've got a million guys hurt right now. Just catch it, move the chains, and let's keep it moving. I saw a lot of encouraging things from him. And then George Kittle, and I think you brought this up about a month ago. I forget what game we were coming out of. George Kittle's an all-time 49er.
He is.
And I don't ever want to see this guy ever wear another uniform. Now, I know sports, things happen at the end of careers and whatnot, and there's finances, and guys' interests change over time. They maybe want to play for another coach or play in another region, or there's another player that takes your spot. I don't know. But I'd love to see George Kittle retire as a 49er, because he made play after play after play last night, and he's just a superstar.
I actually thought, you know, this went through my head yesterday when I saw the graphic of catch leaders in team history. Obviously, Jerry Rice with 1,281 catches. Nobody's catching him. Terrell Owens second on the list with 592 catches. Roger Craig with 508. Dwight Clark with 506. There's George Kittle with a 500 catch club in 49ers history. He's going to surpass Dwight Clark and Roger Craig in the next couple games here. And he may surpass T.O. next year. I was thinking on the way home, you know, coming from Warriors and kind of catching up on Niners, and I went home and kind of up too late watching the Niners. Stayed up a little later than I wanted to because you start watching the elements and stuff, and it's like, wait, I need to be fast-forwarded here. I want to extend George Kittle. I don't want him going anywhere. Like, all this talk about him being washed or losing his step, I don't see him losing a step. I don't see him losing a step in the run game. I don't see him losing a step in the pass game. I actually think his hands are getting better. I actually think he's high-pointing the ball better. I think his run after the catch has always been good and solid. You know what? George Kittle is an all-time Niner. He's the best tight end in 49ers history. And for him to ball out and step up the way he did, picking up his quarterback, there's no doubt I love that. I love that. So I love where the Niners are at right now, getting this much-needed victory. And it's kind of like the Warriors, too. First two games, they beat the Blazers and Jazz by a combined 77 points, an NBA record. An NBA record for largest margin of victory through the first two games of the season, especially on the road. You can't control who you play. You control how you play. And that's how I looked at the 49ers yesterday. They were sloppy yesterday in that first half. And I can only imagine a reaction from people going crazy over the game after down at halftime. But the penalties, the self-inflicted wounds, they've got to clean that up. But they controlled the way they played in that third quarter, and they played lights-out football to flip that game, Shasky. So control the way you play. Forget the opponent. I don't care if it's the Cowboys, the Patriots, the Cardinals, the Rams. You control how you play. The Niners controlled that football game yesterday for the most part in the second half.
Totally agree with you. And like you look at Philadelphia right now, it's 5-2, and they're probably one of the last teams in the wild card. So you just got to handle your business. You can't worry about wild cards and this.
Win the division.
Just, I'm with you 100%. And get healthy, right? You got to get healthy. Clearly, Jordan Mason wasn't running the way, and we'll get into it, but running the way he was earlier. Your point about Kittle. I'm going to say this till I'm blue in the face. When I look at roster construction, you have to fit everything under a salary cap. There is not one tight end in the NFL whose AAV is in the top 100. I'll say that again. There is not a tight end in the NFL, Kelce, Hockenson, Goddard, Andrews, pick whoever you want, Kittle included, who is in the top 100 of AAV most paid players in the league. So what that tells me is that for the fraction of a playmaking wide receiver, I get a guy who helps my tackles out in the run game. I get a guy who's an absolute enforcer and is a matchup nightmare financially. So financially, it's good business. And then just X's and O's and scheme. Okay, you want to put a safety on him? He's going to truck that guy. Yep. You want to put a linebacker on him? He's going to run past him. The route he ran last night that Collinsworth was going crazy on, where he's just running flat and Purdy led him. He's just a dynamic stud, and when he makes plays and runs over someone near the sideline, there's just an infectious joy that this team plays with, unlike when other guys make, and Debo has that quality too. I don't want to take it away from him, but like
Debo was solid yesterday.
I thought Debo was great yesterday.
I mean, the touchdown gets called back with the holding call. Eric Sauber's got to make that block. I thought Debo, and look, even on the drag ride, I saw some things from reporters saying Debo's got to catch that 4th-and-3. That's a poorly thrown football. I don't care if Debo's $28 million wide receiver, $50 million wide receiver. That's a tough ball to catch. Running a drag route, full speed. You got to turn your whole body around. That was a terrible throw by Brock Purdy.
And he was wide open.
Look at,
if we're critiquing, like, I thought Purdy had a really bad first half by his own standards. Like, he underthrew the ball to Debo on the wheel route, which was a beautifully designed play. You put Debo in the backfield as a running back, and you finally got him lined up on a linebacker, and boom, and he's got four steps on that guy. If Purdy leads him a little, I don't know, maybe it's six, maybe it's not.
By the way, we haven't brought up Shanahan. I thought Shanahan had a hell of a football game yesterday. I thought he had a hell of a football game. 888-957-9570.
Totally.
I want to hear from Niner fans. That design to get Debo in the backfield, motion him out, knowing that Eric Kendricks is going to be guarding Debo Samuel and Brock Purdy waiting, and finally looking and turning the throw. Yeah, the ball was underthrown. At least he completed the damn pass, but he's got to lead them. He's got to lead these deep passes. Maybe it is a touchdown, but the designs of Shanahan yesterday, I thought Shanahan was really good yesterday with his play calling and his play designs.
I totally agree with you. I mean, how many times did you see Debo open? Like wide open. They're in man. You can't beat man. Debo wide open. No, he did a great job yesterday. I also believe, and I think Jordan Mason is a very good running back. Not great, but a really good running back. He doesn't necessarily take certain holes that I think he should. I do think he misses the hole. I'm not trying to pretend to be Lo Neal here. Like, I know what a fullback and the running back should be doing on every play. I thought Isaac Guerrero saw the holes a little better than Jordan Mason yesterday.
He did. Bobby Turner, the running back coach, is doing an excellent job. He reminds me so much of Mostert, the way he runs, the way he hits the hole. He looks like Raheem Mostert.
With the number 31
on? Number 31. He's got that juice. He's got that extra juice here. So shout out to our friends at Flowing Water Plumbing and Drainage. If you're going to call it to the roast, you better bring it, because if you don't, you will be flushed. Brought to you by Flowing Water Plumbing and Drainage. Niner fans, keep it real. How you feeling this morning? Do you feel like they're on the way back? Do you feel like they're turning the season around? Are you a little skeptical with the game, with the way the game ended? 888-957-9570. By the way, James Harden, he didn't shoot the ball well, but he controlled the whole damn basketball game. He had a hell of a back-to-back against Denver to go to St. Warriors. Zubac?
Killed us.
Oh, my gosh. 23 points, 17 rebounds, 6 assists.
I'm not a system player. I am a system.
The show and go at the end of the game to go up 5, 107 to 102. Oh, my gosh. The Clippers, what a win.
That's not my big takeaway. My big takeaway was like Curry.
Curry's ankle. And the rotations a little bit. And we'll get to the Warriors at some point. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. This is the time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop. But, of course, the guests are you callers, because we are giving away a jersey. We'll have some information that on the other side. But we're talking Niners here. 30-24 win. They're 4-4. Three-way tied for Arizona going down to Miami. Is still in that game.
Kyler, dude. Dude, he had a couple of short yardage runs where he juked four guys out of their shoes.
I mean, Marvin Harrison showed up. Marvin Harrison Jr. McBride. Trey McBride is a baller.
McBride is a force.
He's a baller. That decent Buda Baker was talking to Tyreek Hill. Tua didn't get hurt. Tua's okay. But boy, I know a lot of people were skeptical yesterday. But Buffalo went up to Seattle and handled business. We need Seattle to beat the Rams next week. We've got to root for Seattle.
I don't know what to make of Seattle. Seattle's
a... Do you see them in the red zone?
Did you see the play with Geno?
Where he got his foot stepped on?
Oh, my God!
What about the snap going over his head on the previous possession? That first to go, Kenneth Walker has to go retrieve the ball at the 30-yard line. Seattle was a mess. They're fighting each other on the sideline.
It's... NFL was insane yesterday. Like, there was, it was insane. Number every single game
from the Bears.
Oh, Stevenson?
Oh,
my gosh.
If you don't know what we're talking about, we'll talk about it on the other side, because I've never seen that at a professional level.
Love it. Feverishly waving heavy. Break. All right, we're coming back. Brought to you by Crystal Geyser Alpine Spring Water.
It ain't nothing you can do about it.
Hey, it's Verducci from EDH, and you're listening to The Morning Roast with Fonte and Chasky on 95.7 The Game. Sprinkle me, man.
I'm a challenge Niner fans. I'm a challenge football fans. Calls don't pop like they do after a loss when the Niners win. You know, we say all this and that when the Niners lose. We want to give Shanahan heat. We want to give Purdy heat. We want to give Sorensen heat. We want to give the defense heat. We want to give Bosa heat. They won a game yesterday, and it was a big win for the 49ers on primetime television to stabilize their season and be in a three-way tie for first place in the NFC West. And we've seen this team start slow before under Kyle Shanahan. A lot of these core members, 3-5 starts, 2-4 starts, 3-4 starts, you name it. And they've recovered and gone deep into the playoffs after starting slow. And they've gone on crazy runs in the month of November and December. And I'll get the stats up. Shanahan's all-time record in November and December is pretty damn good, Shasky. It's pretty good when you date it back to 2019. So, 888-957-9570. Let's not be front-runners, folks. It'd be all doom and gloom when they lose. Holler at me about the win. What you like? What didn't you like?
Well, I like to start right here. What I liked was I thought Nick Bosa played awesome.
He was incredible.
I thought he was really good in this one. There was obviously the big hits on Dak, the sack, him forcing the interception. There was a play later on in the game that I actually thought was one of his better ones, because it was like, oh, finally he's realizing and has the awareness of what's happening here. a couple of times after a sack, and I'll give Mike McCarthy credit. He ran on an immediate screen right after it, kind of using the over-aggressiveness mm-hmm. of the Niners against them, mm-hmm. and then would like throw the screen right into the vacated area where the pass rush was coming from. There was a play in the flat to the tight end, and I don't know if it was the backup tight end or Ferguson,
yeah.
and Bosa started to rush, realized where the play was going, mm-hmm. dropped into coverage, and then got his arm on him. It ended up being right. a broken tackle, but somebody else came and cleaned it up, and I was like, that's what I've been looking for, because how many times have we seen Bosa like unaware of what's happening around him? He's just, I have to go get the quarterback. Like, I thought he made a really good instinctual play in space, which I can't remember how many times I've seen him do that.
No, I think his pressure on that first interception by Dak Prescott was really good. Number 91 as well. What's my guy's name? Aminihu?
Okwuanu. I think is how you pronounce
Okwuanu.
It.
He came around looping on one side. Bosa came in with the pressure, got the hit on Dak Prescott. Look, ever since I had that rant about Nick Bosa stepping up, he stepped up against Seattle. He stepped up against Kansas City. And he stepped up yesterday. Nick Bosa's playing lights out football. There's no doubt about it. No doubt. You have to give the man some credit. He's getting after the quarterback. Now, the sack number's got to get up there. We saw the 3.5 sacks. Then he goes getting one, gets a couple yesterday. But I thought Nick Bosa has really played some really good football over the last 3 weeks. He deserves credit. And when you get a guy like that as a one-man wrecking crew, it makes everybody else's job easier.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, Okwuanu's getting pressure. All of a sudden, you know what? You know who made some plays yesterday early in the game?
Campbell?
Yes. Did you see the clothesline?
Oh, yeah.
You see him in the run?
They were attacking him on every play.
Yeah,
so.
No, but
yes.
He kind of had to make the plays. Like, that's what they wanted him to do.
Yeah, no doubt. He made some plays early on in the game.
Dean Winters also made some plays and then got hurt, and I don't think he came back into the game.
Concussion.
I mean, that's not good.
Well, he's got a bye week. Hopefully he'll clear it next week and he'll be fine.
I thought also our DBs, though, the communication and the wide open busts on some CeeDee Lamb plays, the Turpin play, Tolbert, those are frustrating. But I've seen them make plays as a guy's catching it, playing through the ground, as in punching the ball out. Charvarius Ward, D'Amour Lenore, Renardo Green, Malik Mustafa, Jair Brown. All these guys now in the last 3 or 4 weeks have made some really nice plays on, oh, that should be a catch. And if you just, you know, the guys punch the ball out. I don't know. I'm really impressed with the ability for our DBs to locate the ball in air. Now, the blown coverages, that is a problem. Like, CeeDee Lamb was the only player in that on that offense to fear. And for him to be that wide open that many times, that was a little worrisome.
That
I hate to be that guy, but
worrisome. It was a terrible ending because, you know, Niners up 27-10, Warriors are in the fourth quarter, and next thing you know, during a commercial break, I look up and the Dallas Cowboys have the ball at 30-24, and I'm thinking to myself, are the Niners going to blow this? Bully looks at me and goes, uh-oh, Bate. I say, hey, look, man. It's going to be a fun show either way. Niners are going to blow it in epic fashion, or they're going to get the win, and nobody's going to call us because a lot of people like to hide. You know, that's the one thing. As I look at the lines, 888-957-9570. I was having a discussion with somebody Friday night.
Okay.
And I saw this clip, too, and it was off of Levitard's clip with Skip Bayless.
I listened to the whole thing. It was great.
It was great stuff. But Levitard, he mentioned this, and he said, look, it's hard to construct a show with nothing but praise for 2 hours. People love negativity. People love doom and gloom. People love to just blame people and scapegoat people, and it's a negative thing instead of, and Levitard said this, which is my mindset my whole time in my career, trying to celebrate sports, celebrate the greatness. These athletes are awesome. They're one of one, right? And so, yeah, we're going to have to give people constructive criticism, and we lose our minds when they lose a football game. But when guys win and they do well, it seems like in sports radio these days, nobody wants to talk about that stuff. We can't praise anybody. Like Kyle Shanahan. I dare somebody to call us today and praise shout Kyle Shanahan for his offensive game plan. Now, there's a 3rd and 1 late in the game where he passes it, and I know everybody's going crazy. But for the most part, I thought Shanahan had a hell of a game played yesterday.
Well, there was a fullback dive situation, and I'm going, oh, my God. It was like 2nd and goal.
Yeah.
And they go to the fullback dive, and I'm thinking, Shanahan, please, dude, you better punch this in. And then he does the like rub route play.
Right.
And to Conley's credit, Conley's coming across. He's the outside receiver. Kittle's gonna kind of go to the pylon, and you're gonna throw the touchdown pass to him. Conley's credit, he's getting pushed into the DB, but it was a clear pick play. Like that's what we were running there. Yep. We were running a pick play. Was it supposed to be that egregious? Probably not.
Yep.
But because the DB's kind of pushing Conley, he blasting him. That easily could have been called a pick play.
No doubt.
I think we got very lucky. They score the six. They get the touchdown there. But I love that because put the onus on the referees to make the call. They don't want to make that call. Like I saw the Indianapolis Colts run that for years with Peyton Manning.
Yep.
Run that play run in the play. Red zone all day. So I was very happy with what Shanahan dialed up.
Yep.
There's a play here. A play there that I can get frustrated with.
Right.
How about the fake end arounds?
The fake end arounds were great. The screen pass. Dude, I thought Shanahan was in his entire bag yesterday, so I want to give Shanahan some credit. And his team, again, well, there's an opportunity to where maybe people suspect that, oh, he's losing the locker room. Oh, my God, he doesn't have his pulse on the team. Well, next thing you know, they bounce back after a tough halftime. And I was listening to his presser on the way home yesterday where he said, you know, I think Aaron from Crown 4, she asked him about halftime speeches or something. And he goes, well, this isn't, you know, it's not like the movies. We only have so much time. Like, I may call him up and say, hey, let's go do this, let's go do that. Or I'll tell Fred, hey, I got to go to the bathroom. Fred, call him up, break him down or whatnot. But it's not like Al Pacino on any given Sunday. Or it's not Friday Night Lights and Bowie Miles or the Reverend is yelling at everybody. Doesn't really happen to the pros.
Don't get caught watching the paint dry? Your favorite movie of all time?
Yeah, maybe.
I'm teasing.
Maybe. You hate that movie.
But no, it's... I actually thought there were a lot of plays to be had in the first half.
Yep.
And for whatever reason, holds, execution, drop balls, slightly, you know, errant throws by Purdy, they didn't execute. And that's what I think was so frustrating for Niner fans is you look up and it's like, we have 250-yard field goals against this Dallas defense with no Micah Parsons. So, look, I'm sitting on my couch like everyone else, and I was losing my mind. But I didn't think it was because of Shanahan. I was like, this is on the players.
Players have to execute.
Exactly.
And I think for the most part, these losses, I point to the Rams game. I point to the Cardinals game. Players have to execute. Hell, even against Kansas City. Lack of execution. Not play calls. Lack of execution cost them these victories here. Let's take a call real quick. Let's go to Duke of San Bruno. Duke, what's happening? You're on the roast.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, a win is a win. The 49ers got to clean up their secondary on defense because better team than I'm not out of them. It's going to be over. Shanahan's play calling, I will agree, was better, but it was only better in the second half. You can't put Purdy over center with a running back in the backfield because everybody knows what's going to happen. It's just like a wasted down. Every time, it's a wasted down. Yeah, Garendo kind of changed that narrative a little bit when he came in. As far as the kickers, man, we are playing with house money on kickers right now. Believable. But like I say, a win's a win. We'll take it.
Duke, on that point, they threw a graphic up that kind of surprised me. Now, we're in week, what, 7 or 8? Yeah, this is 8. This is week 8. This is for the 49ers. They're the only team in the NFL with 3-plus players to attempt a field goal.
Yeah, no. It's pretty funny.
I mean, it's just the fact they're doing this. And that's why I was saying late in the game, you know, they march on down. I go, I don't know if a field goal, you know, is a lock at any distance. We are on our third kicker here, guys.
So when we think about Shanahan in the month of November and December, right? And I'm going to take out 2020, the pandemic season. I'm going to throw that away.
They were in Arizona.
They were in Arizona,
yeah,
Glendale, Arizona.
I totally agree.
So for the last 5 years, we'll take away 2020. We'll start in 2019. We'll go 2021, okay. 2022, 2023. Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers in the month of November and December are 24-7.
Wow. Wow.
24 wins, 7 losses.
I think they even finished 2018 on a high note, too. They beat Seattle in the rain.
They did beat Seattle in the rain.
There were a couple of nice wins down the stretch.
Well, they did. Not to mention
2017
when Jimmy went undefeated down the stretch there. Jimmy Garoppolo, when they beat the Bears, the Texans, Jaguars, the Seahawks. No, they didn't beat the Seahawks, excuse me. They beat the Titans, Jaguars, Bears, Texans. They lost won that last game against the Rams, right?
Yeah.
JV team. So, 24-7.
So there's 9 games left in the season, and my thought is like, they just need to get to 10 wins.
Yep.
I think 10 wins wins the division. And,
I do too.
And then, like, you can reset everything and go into the playoffs. Look, is it hard to come out of the wild card spot? Playing wild card weekend, excuse me, and win it all? Absolutely, it's difficult. And Mahomes did it last year. Okay.
Yep.
And it's rare. I know Baltimore did it the year that they beat the Niners. Like, it is rare. I'm not here to say that it's not difficult. But of all the teams that's battle tested, that has a bunch of guys that have won a ton of games in January, isn't this kind of one of those teams?
Yes, absolutely.
I feel really curious. Hey, there's something that happened here at 95.7 The Game subtly over the weekend, and I want to talk about it just ever so quickly on the other side.
Right. Oh, my God.
Don't forget, when the Red Gold win, our listeners win. The morning after every victory, be sure to tune in to the Morning Roast for your chance to win a jersey. Today, it'll be around 7:30, so stay tuned for that. Again, when the Red Gold win, our listeners win. We'll have more details on that presented by Habba's Law, because Habba's Law always puts people in the best position to win. What's coming up on the game, brought to you by Freedom Bond Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Miguel San Antonio wants to get the Niners props. We'll take the rest of the calls. 888-957-9570. Niners win. Warriors lose. We'll talk about both here on a Monster Monday.
Morning Roast is live on YouTube right now. Take it away, Bonte.
All right, Steph, hopefully you're getting well. MRI coming up for Stephen Curry. Wow, Spirit Airlines to sell off their planes there. What is Big Dog City going to do, my best friend? No Spirit Airlines, but Mike Tirico on the call there for Deebo Samuel. Who beats man coverage? You're on the call. He got the better man coverage. Yay! Stephen Curry, the MRI left ankle. He rolled it twice yesterday into the third quarter. And, of course, at the 8-minute mark of the fourth quarter, the Warriors are down 11 there late. They made a rally with Kevon Looney, J.K., Andrew Wiggins, who's playing really good basketball, Buddy Hield and Brandon Podziemski. We'll get to the Warriors at some point today. Maybe we'll squeeze them in. But an MRI for Stephen Curry later on today. Hopefully he doesn't miss too much time. So at the Pelicans on Tuesday and Wednesday at Chase Center. Of course, our Monster 5-game road trip that starts in Houston, D.C., they go to Boston, they go to Cleveland, and they end the trip in OKC. So that's a tough 5-game road trip. But back to the Niners. Deebo Samuel played well, man. Inspired football yesterday from Deebo. Had a touchdown call back on a holding call. I thought Deebo came to play last night. Hopefully the ribs are okay.
Yeah, hopefully they are okay. B, I teased this before the end of the break. I don't know if you know what happened over the weekend here at 95.7 The Game, but this is a testament to our audience, and I just want to thank everybody. Over the weekend, 95.7 The Game's YouTube page went over 100,000 subscribers.
Oh, yay.
Now, I don't know if you know about the algorithms. Some of this data is a little outdated. It goes back to 2022. There's over 41 million channels. 41 million channels on YouTube. This is in 2022. Less than 0.006%. 0.006% reach 100,000.
Wow.
So to say that we are a 1% of a 1%, channel.
We're one of one.
We really are. But I, honestly, this isn't about like you or me or whatever. It's about our audience. And I just want to say thank you
to
everybody who clicks subscribe, who tunes in, who goes into the videos and all that stuff. Like, because I remember when we first started this thing and I getting to 10,000 was a major, major accomplishment. It's not slept on me how much people really love us out there. And without you guys, we aren't a station. So thank you to everybody in 95.7 The Game who subscribes and listens and watches us on YouTube every single morning.
Hopefully we get the chat roller too. We get the chat back up. How many Instagram followers do we have now?
130,000, I think.
Wow. Snap out.
Let me look it up.
And that Instagram account really only became active.
142,000, excuse me.
That account only became active probably about 2018, 2019. It was very underutilized here, just like YouTube was. So it's good to see the station growing. Good to see fans following it. Look, you know, there's bad comments, there's good comments, but I guess all comments are good for organization, right?
Thank you, is what I would say. Now, back to Deebo Samuel. I thought Deebo was a huge part of the game plan, clearly, heading into this one. And something happened with Jordan Mason the last couple of weeks. Clearly the shoulder, right? He was running physical, but he was running more low to the ground because he was trying to be low man and really be a battering ram. I mean, he was leading the NFL in yards after contact. He was leading, you know, in terms of breaking tackles. He had a lot of different numbers where he was at the top of the charts. The last couple of weeks, he just has not ran the same. I don't think he's hitting the holes that are there. Like, to know when to cut back in this scheme, like, it's an art. And I think McCaffrey is great at it. He gets thin in these little tiny holes, and then, boom, he explodes through. Obviously, Raheem Mostert, who Mike McDaniel called the angle god, meaning he takes great angles. Garendo, it took a minute for him to kind of find his footing. I thought Garendo was clearly better than Jordan Mason yesterday. And I thought Mason has been compromised, and he's just not running the same way that he has been. And so he really needs the bye week. I'm not ready to, like, you know, give up on him or anything, but like, I could kind of see, like, he needs to get it right.
Well, Jordan Mason, let's just look at Jordan Mason. Okay, 2022, 43 carries for the entire season, regular season, 40 carries in 2023 in 17 games played. This year he's already at 134 carries. Now, he's ran for 685 yards, but he hasn't had this volume since he was a sophomore at Georgia Tech.
Did he even eclipse 890 yards in Georgia Tech?
So at Georgia Tech, his freshman year, 108 carries, 659 yards.
Okay.
As a sophomore at Georgia Tech, 172 carries, 899 yards.
99, okay.
Junior year, only played six games, 82 carries. Junior year, 82 carries. Senior year, 87 carries.
I think Jahmyr Gibbs was the lead back last 2 years, if I'm not mistaken.
He was, but to my point, he hasn't saw this type of value since 2019, Shasky. His sophomore year was 2019.
Did you hear, like, I think it was week 2 or 3, he had told one of the reporters, like, oh, I didn't realize, like, CMC takes this punishment.
That was after week one.
Every week.
That was after week one, Monday Night Football. He goes, I don't know how CMC does this. That was Monday Night Football week one. So he needs a bye week here. I still want Jordan Mason involved in his game plan because he's a battery ram, but it's obviously he's got a little fatigue. He's hit the wall a bit. That's where Bobby Turner and the Shanahans, this is the business they're in. They know how to groom running backs out of nowhere. And Baldy, I keep thinking of Baldy when it comes to Isaac Garendo because he probably was the highest on him. We saw him the first day of training camp pop his hamstring. Then we saw him get in. He kind of ran tentative, had some fumbleitis issues.
Oh, he's fumbled.
But now he's starting to come into his own.
Yeah.
Now he's got to get better at pass pro. He's missing blocks of pass pro.
Purdy almost got snapped in half.
Oh, I know. And Purdy hung out to that football.
To be fair to Garendo, that was a really tough one because the guy was coming so far on the edge. He was just kind of late. He's got to get in front of him. I'm not trying to make it up. But that's a tough play. That's all I'm saying. Purdy got snapped.
So he's got to get better at pass protection. But the rumors are swirling about Christian McCaffrey. We may see him in Tampa. Or we may see him against Seattle.
I don't know.
Well, I don't know. When my guy told me before the Kansas City game, he goes, Bonte. And he looks at me in the eye all the time, whatever he tells me, son, Bonte, you know who's talking to you, right? That's what he does. He's like, you know, Bonte. And I'm like, you know what? You never let me down the wrong road. You've been right about everything. I know this guy for 9 years.
Is this a 49er only source? Or does he give you sourcing in other buildings?
Not tipping my head here, Shasky. I know you're trying to be a detective here, trying to figure this out. You know, you're trying to figure this out.
I
can't give away the sauces.
You know,
is he passing or is he Shefty? Is he Rappaport or is he Jay Glazer?
Or is he Shams?
He's inside. But he's like Bonte. He gonna be ready to roll mid November, and I was like, "What?" I was like, and I asked him, I was like, "Come on, man, bilateral." Like Mullen had a line yesterday in the post game show at the Gatehouse. He goes, "We kind of talk about the tendonitis." He goes, "Bilateral Achilles tendonitis." Well, it sounds like CMC needs PRP. I was like, well, he's already with Germany, Mully. So I don't know how he's going to do this. PRP. CMC needs PRP. I think he got it already. So we'll see.
Well, I am sure he has the best of all care that you could possibly afford or find when it comes to healing up. But they need him. Like, and
they need him.
Here's the thing with Mason. So if you get Mason healthy, hopefully a couple weeks from now, all right, now I've got the bruiser back, right? We need to shore up our short yardage running. Right now, short yardage running is a problem.
It is.
The best short yardage runner is Purdy, like on the sneaks. Yep. And that's, to me, that's not sustainable. When it's third and two, you're not running a sneak. That's a fourth and inches, third and inches type of a play. Yeah. So they've got to shore up the short yardage stuff. Guerrero, though, there was a couple of, like, first guy comes through and he just kind of whoop and just kind of like slide steps and then finds his footing and then cuts upfield. He's really impressing me.
No, he is. He is. He's very impressive. And by the way, before we get to Chris Miguel in San Antonio, we're going to get to the calls here, 888-957-9570. Pro Football Focus. And like, I don't put a lot of stock into it, but some people do. I was very surprised to see Trent Williams, Aaron Banks, Dominic Pooty, and Colt McKivitz in the top eight, top nine, at their respective positions.
Absolutely
Pro Football Focus. You know when they show the starting lineups?
For the overall year,
yeah. Colt McKivitz is a lot better than, according to Pro Football Focus, I don't know how much weight we're putting into it, but he was a top 10 right tackle at his spot, according to Pro Football Focus. I was blown away looking at the Pro Football. I was like, wow, really? But I don't know how they grade everything.
Well,
I'm not privy to that intel.
Well, heading into that game, I thought they had more good games than bad.
No doubt.
That's what I think. Now, look, we could talk about situations where they gave up big plays, but last night with no Micah Parsons, I thought they were handling business.
No doubt.
I thought they did a really good job. The one missed block by Guerrero, now was in. How about the play by Purdy? It's a fake jet sweep, and then they're going to pitch it out to Debo, and Purdy realizes the linebacker's jumping the play, and he's like, you know what? I'm just going to keep it.
16
he's
yards.
He's got to get down.
He'll get down.
He worries me because he took a shot he didn't need to take.
This guy's tough, man. I know he's tough.
No one questions his toughness.
He's a baller. He'll get down here.
But if he goes down, we're in trouble.
Well, it's a great heads-up play. You don't believe in Joshua Dobbs? Brendan Allen sees him?
The commercial with Josh Dobbs where he comes in as the backup is such a good commercial.
All right, you are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. Don't forget that segment is sponsored by Golden State Lumber, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com. Let's go to Miguel down in San Antonio, Texas. I know he's feeling good with his family, half of them being Cowboy fans. What's up, Miguel?
What's up, Bonte? What's up, Chasky? Another victory. Let's go, faithful. I slept well last night. I just want to talk about like what this game means to me personally being out here. I'm the guy that's out there. It's a tradition now. I'm out there watering my lawn, Niner gear head to toe, so my neighbors know who to hate, and they can't say anything because we just own this team. I don't want to downplay what the Cowboys brought. They're coming off a bye. They're ready to go. And I just want to say, man, watching, just being pissed off from last week and watching what KC was doing, this game,